Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to be talking about big bait versus little bait. And you guys want to talk about like live bait and whatever.
All baits.
All baits. Artificial and live.
Sure.
So this came in from a question that somebody had talking about, hey, what size bait should you be using during the spring, fall, winter? He was asking a bunch of questions and we responded back, but we figured why not, let's talk about it because there's other people that have this same question. So let's talk about live bait first.
Yeah, I mean, we can go, well, I mean.
Just whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I think, you know, like the old adage, right, size matters. I think size can be all that matters at certain times of the year.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, everybody says, you know, use big baits to catch bigger fish. To some extent, yeah, it might single out just larger fish that are going to go after a bigger bait like that. But, you know, I think we've all seen plenty of examples of, you know, big fish getting caught on pretty small baits.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a certain amount of finesse during different times of the year. I would guess that this time of year with there being through the ice, it's, you know, some of the smaller baits, the more of a finesse approach. It could be a lot more productive than a gigantic bait or a big spoon.
Yeah, perfect example. We were on the ice last weekend, and we had a couple trout coming. I was fishing a really small micro jig, and I was catching, I don't know, whether they're like 14-inch trout.
Yeah,
but a couple nice ones came in, and Mitch was using Castmaster.
I had a big blade bait, you know, two giant treble hooks on it, and really, I was jigging that to bring in pike for our tip ups.
Right.
In Brad's hole, he had his little micro jig. I don't know what he was doing where his jig was out of the hole right then, but I looked down the hole, and here's these two. Oh, they were 20-plus, no problem, rainbows.
Yeah.
And they were swarming all over my bait, but I could just tell by looking at them, they didn't want to have anything to do with it. And off they went, disappeared. Yeah. But I promise you, I've seen many times that same scenario where I do have the right size jig on, and oh, they're taking it. And they're not even thinking twice about it. So right there, sure. Bigger baits weren't going to catch the bigger fish.
Right.
It was too much. And I think that's the thing that goes into kind of all ice fishing in general. Fish can be aggressive, but overall with the colder water temps, slower metabolism, they are just a little slower, a little more finicky. And I think a smaller bait a lot of times will trigger them versus something too big.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think when you get into those big aggressive feeding times like spring where they're coming off of you know the ice fishing and they're, you know, open water's just coming out and we all know they're coming off the spawn.
Are you talking walleyes?
I'm talking all of them. I'm talking, you know, bass, walleye, whatever. You know, of course, bass are different because they sit on beds and stuff like that, and the walleyes will go up the river. Or
you're talking that time period.
But I'm talking post-spawn, time period post spawn where they put on the feed bag.
Big baits
that's
at
where
night.
You go with the big baits to get the bigger fish. I think that's more of a time when you're going to do that. Or fall when you know it starts
Same
to
thing.
Get to later
you're gonna
on.
You're going to be using those 11s, 12s.
And they're starting to set up on a little bit deeper structure. You're going to start to use those baits that are bigger, and when they come up at night, like we've talked about several times in the past. And, you know, they come up to feed and they're up, you know, higher in the water column for a short period of time feeding. You're going to use those bigger baits. And I think it's that way with northerns, too. I think pike do the same thing. You know, you use the bigger stick baits or the bigger, you know, buzz baits or spinner baits or whatever you're using for the pike at that point, bigger jigs, you know, in those earlier times right after the spawn. And then, you know, everybody kind of starts to pare it down to a little bit smaller size to be a little more consistent. But I also think that's why you get those smaller fish then. Mm-hmm. You consistently catch more fish. I mean, we'll have days where you catch 50 walleye, no problem. But they're all between, you know, 17 inches to 18 inches, whatever. Where in the springtime, you use those bigger baits, we may catch more fish consistently, 20, 23, 24 inches.
Yeah, I've kind of got a theory as far as crankbaits go, kind of spring through summer. You know, in the springtime, pretty much all the bait fish, so a lot of our reservoirs, it's shad. That's the main forage. And gizzard shad. Well, all the gizzard shad that are in the water, say, in March in the reservoir, they're all pushing
big.
Adult size,
they're
right?
Big.
Yeah, they're full size. Yep. They're not the
about
babies
the size anymore. Of a 7 or a 9.
Yeah. Bigger than that, even.
Well, some from the year before, but, I mean, the ones from the last spawn, in the reservoir are usually right around
that. So you're talking the big population of bait fish. Well, so early spring, you know, should you be using a little bit bigger flicker shad, you know, the 7 or 9 like you say, and then once that hatch happens, you know, there's tons of shad in the water, but they're too small. A lot of game fish, it's not worth their time. They're too small. So that's when, you know, a lot of times that Lindy rig and crawlers and leeches and the invertebrates, a lot of the predators switch over to that forage.
Crayfish.
And that, you know, and that's why that bite gets so hot. But then, you know, later in summer, we'll run fives or so, like in June, we'll say.
Right.
Brad and I love to run fives where you usually do go a little bigger.
Yeah.
You know, by July and August, you bet we're going sevens and nines ourselves because, again, that spring
it's
of the year
like
hatch.
It's kind of like fly fishermen with matching the hatch.
Totally.
Yes and no. I think that's the big difference. I think that's the difference in our philosophy.
It's not the hatch, but it's what the primary bait fish the size would be.
I think
and a little bit of a separator.
Actually, I think it's the opposite. I think instead of matching it, I think they take the oddball. We all have seen where we fish our reservoirs early spring with fours and fives and do really well. Mm-hmm. We know those. We can see them. I mean, a lot of times we see the schools of them. They'll come up, and you'll see them on the surface, and we know those are size seven or bigger. But when we fish the oddball size, the five, the four, it's like the fish key in on them. It's different than that. You know, you get in, you roll through that school, you pull through that school, and you have the oddball size or the oddball a little bit different that might key that fish. In the summertime, it's just the opposite. I think, you know, you got those little ones, well, you throw on those sevens and it's that one that's just a little bigger. It's different. Mm-hmm. It's different than the rest of them, and that's my theory.
I think your theory is probably pretty right on, because it goes right into not just the size but the action or maybe where that
rattles or no rattles.
Yeah,
or
if you pull your cranks through a school of shad,
right,
and yours is kind of off on its own, or, you know, going into the school and then out again.
Right.
Yeah, it's singled out. It's by itself. So you bet. I think you're probably onto that.
I think it's more of that. When we fish balls, I mean, I agree with you, but I also think that when you're fishing balls of bait fish, that a lot of your strikes are coming if you're fishing just below the ball of bait fish or just outside of it, going right through the middle of it. Now you're competing with thousands.
Right. It was the difference.
Until
size.
It busts out of the school.
Until it busts out.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, 6 minutes and 57 seconds. I want it to be noted. Brad agreed with me. That's how far we were into this podcast.
Well, you know what? It's funny you said that.
6:57.
Because here's the thing. When you were talking, I was like, I am actually agreeing with him. This is like a first, because.
And I've thought about it a lot, and we've talked about it as a group. You know, we'll be out there fishing, and especially on those days when you're not catching fish, you start to talk about mm-hmm. it more. But I think that, you know, we do have a few lakes that have the absolute best walleye bait in the world, Rainbow Smelt. And a couple, you know, when we fish those, you know, we use fairly good size. I mean, obviously the bait is a much narrower, longer type of bait as opposed to shad.
We'll go a little bigger in the Rainbow
but
Smelt.
But when we're targeting walleyes that are used to suspending for smelt, it's, you know, that's what we commonly go with, the bigger, longer baits. And it really gets interesting when we have, because we have a lake here or a reservoir here that has both a huge smelt and a huge shad population. Now, you know, we're always changing it up, right? We have
you
two of the
four
rods.
The problem with that is we get confused.
And
we're all confused. We're like, I don't know what they use.
Well, which one did that one have it on, or, you know, or whatever. But that is the fun part is, you know, when you get a population that's got a lot of bait, and they suspend and they ravage it. You know, I'm sure Erie's the same way with their different types of baits. That's why their fish are so gigantic. And that's why they have such a great trolling bite, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's the difference when you're talking about baits and cranks and matching the hatch, but not really.
I say that with reservation, matching the hatch. What I'm just saying is being cognizant of what is growing up right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What are the fish going after?
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so now let's flip it over to jigging, okay? And when I and let's talk about jigs. Let's talk about plastics versus plastics on a jig head versus
a
leech or a crawler or a minnow or a sucker, whatever you're going to use, right? Whatever your live bait of choice is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's a definite difference. You know, I mean, I've had tough bites where I typically like to start with 3-inch grubs, go to 4-inch, and then even 5, depending on if we're doing casting. Sometimes the 5s are really good, and we'll get those 24, 25 inch fish that are fairly common at that point. And those fives are great. That's a, you know, quarter ounce jig head, size five twister tail, whatever your favorite brand is. The Berkeley just came out with a new grub that is bigger, fatter, more like the Kalins. So, you know, something like that. I like that, you know. But I know a lot of guys who stick to that 1/8 ounce casting or pitching or however you want to describe it. And, you know, on the smaller type grubs, the 2.5 inch grubs. And that's all they'll use.
I think that, like, when we go out and we're pitching shorelines, for some reason, and it, when you were talking, it made me think, I always start off with the 3 inch.
Mm-hmm. I almost always do as
do,
well.
Three I do. Or four. It's usually the 3 inch. And if I'm picking fish up, of course, I stay with that. But if not, I'll go up to the 5 and try them back and forth, try some of the glide jigs and stuff to help out with some
action. A little more action.
Yeah, a little more action.
Right.
But I think predominantly, if you had, I mean, you gotta have all that in your arsenal to try it.
Sure. Right?
But I think that, and Mitch is probably the same, I think that you probably predominantly put on 3 inch like grubs.
Well, a lot of times, you know, like if Brad and I are fishing together, we do. It's usually we start at 3 inch, but always different colors.
Always different colors.
We change up the colors. Now, if something feels like when we switch out a color, maybe it's that bigger bait. Oh yeah, and that works. Mm-hmm. Then we're gonna try to switch
it up. That's. I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking that in my head. Is that when you are out there with another guy fishing, you're casting a shoreline. Don't use the same thing, especially to begin with. Make sure that, I mean, it might be white always works good. We're using white. Mm-hmm. Maybe not this day.
Right.
Someone should put on an orange or red or whatever it is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And try that and narrow that down because it might be better that day. And if the white is catching fish, move over to a 5 like a ripple shad or something. Try it because it might get bigger fish. It might
trigger more bites.
You don't know. And you can narrow it down after about an hour on the water of what's
sure.
truly working good. I think the problem that I see when I take guys out, they stick to it. That is my bait, and I'm sticking to it.
Because it worked last week.
Yeah. Well, fish in a memory. Everybody gets stuck fish in a memory, whether it's a spot or a jig or whatever.
I know. So if white is working, well, of course you want to continue to use that, but your buddy should be trying something else, or you do it.
Right.
And see if that is actually truly that day is what's working.
Right.
Good.
Okay, so now when I don't, you know, people keep their bait several different ways. You know, no, any one way is right or wrong, you know, whatever you like to do. Are you the person that digs down through the bucket of leeches looking for that big fat leech that's going to extend 3-4 inches off of your hook, or are you the guy that goes down and gets that leech that's just the good little medium size? What's your preference, Mitch?
If I'm Lindy Riggin, I'm going jumbo.
As big as they go,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I wish they were a foot long.
Okay.
I'd put it on.
All right. How about you?
Whatever I grab out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and I'm more, you know, I used to be like that, too.
I used to think about the bigger presentation.
Well, and I'll tell you what. These walleyes, I think there's two things. I do think the bigger, the more difficult it can be for them to get. I mean, you know, whether it be, especially if you're doing Lindy, right? You have a long leader, light line, maybe it's a hook, no jig head. That, you know, that leech could be down there just giving her hell, right?
I think they're slurping it right up.
I think I go a little bit smaller.
See, I'm not going to agree with you on that.
I go a little bit smaller. I think sometimes it's just too much. I think it's too much, you know.
Well,
the bigger,
it might be too aggressive or too much movement, but it's not too much.
Well, or if you tick it, or you tip it on a jig, you're using a, some sort of whatever your favorite jig is, and you tip it with a leech. I think if you do too much, I think the profile, whatever it is, can turn them off. I think it does. I think sometimes when you put something on there that's a little more subtle, more for the scent, a little bit for the action, I think they're all over it. And I mean, I've just seen it a bunch where it appears that's what they do. Now, when I'm doing slip bobber, I like to get a little bit fatter, a little bit bigger leech because it's hanging down in there. It just seems to be hanging right in their face. And then I've got enough weight on the way I rig my slip bobber to where it keeps it, you know, fairly in line. That thing's not swimming off in different directions. And I think it when they extend and then they hit that warmer water, because I keep them on ice, man, it's on, and you throw it out there, and it's swimming the second it hits the water.
Well, I'll tell you what, is back in the early 90s in Minnesota, we were
when you were in your 30s?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Even 20s.
Yeah.
Well, we were on this every beginning of June. Yeah, everybody knows it back home. When that live bait bite turns on, it's go time, right? Well, first week of June, Lake Independence, right there west of the cities.
Yeah.
And we'd hammer them every year. And it was always with just a hook and a leech, Lindy rig, basically.
Yeah.
Split shot rig, like we've talked
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Well, funny thing, you know, we'd catch 6-7 pounders, you know, bunches of 20s, you know, great fish.
Right.
The biggest
is not 20 pounders.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to Independence.
Yeah. Yeah, these Minnesota guys, you got to watch them.
Funny thing, one fish came, you know, out of probably 3 years doing this hardcore
right.
with that little window of time. One fish ended up on the wall. It was a 10 pounder that Ronnie G caught on the very last leech
in
the bucket.
Ronnie G.
Hey, Ronnie G, what up?
Ronnie G.
I don't know. Kenny G's brother? Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's Ronnie G. It's Ronnie G. I learned a lot from Ronnie G.
Oh, geez.
Anyway, last little nub of a leech. He said it was a baby. I wasn't with him when
yeah.
he caught it. Last leech in the bucket.
Yeah.
It was right when the sun was going down, 10 pounder.
Yeah.
So why do you always go for the bigger leech then?
Because we caught plenty on the bigger leeches.
See, and that's the point, I think, is this whole conversation. Does it matter?
I don't think it matters on leeches.
Does it matter on leeches? Okay, but here's what I do think it matters. And I don't care what anybody says. I'll go to my grave with this because I just catch a ton of fish on it. I only use small pieces of crawler when I jig, or if I'm going to do a jig head and a piece of crawler with no plastic, it is a half a crawler or less. I mean, I have seen guys ball them up on that hook.
I've seen them double.
It's just nuts, the amount of just flesh that goes up on that hook. And I can't do it. I mean, and not only that, but you could put a whole worm on a hook, fish it all day, and be lucky if you get two bites. The second you split that bad boy in half and you use, you know, either the tail or the head,
I think
you're hammering
we do it. We use predominantly half crawlers, too. I'd say 95% of the time, but I think it's more of a scent thing. When you cut that crawler in half,
yeah.
I mean, it's just scent everywhere.
Well, if you just
and
pinched
you
off a half inch of the tail and you still have a 7-inch crawler, it's still
sure.
too much. It's
sure.
just, you know, they're down there looking at it.
They're going to tail nip you. They're, you know, and that's,
yeah.
a,
that's
you know.
The problem, especially if there's perch in the water.
Well, and that's the other big issue. But, I mean, I'm telling you, go, you know, half crawler. I mean, a half crawler with a jig head can be the most deadly presentation on the planet.
It really is. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I don't even use a jig head with color, just a plain lead head jig head.
And plus, you get twice the crawlers.
And you at least, you know,
two dozen.
Yeah.
I can add two yeah. dozen and be four dozen.
Yeah, well, that right there is Nebraska Public Schools.
That's right there. That's right. Shout out to Nebraska Public Schools. See how smart I am? Okay, I stop after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know,
you
know four dozen.
Yeah.
How many?
Yeah.
You know, I think this kind of gets into just like color. Was it the fish just happened to be
and
there?
Preference.
And, you know, it was the perfect
right,
setup.
Right.
And it didn't matter if it was big or small. It was going to eat it.
The water clarity, the cloud cover. I mean, you know, there's all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the question really goes down to, and we've talked about it, and we'll talk about it for the rest of the time that we do this, it's the confidence. If you like big creek chubs in the spring on a Lindy rig or a slip bobber, and you have a certain size, you're going to go into the bait store and say, you know, Billy, I want the 2.5-inch creek chubs and make sure they're all close.
Yeah, you know? And do you mind if I dig out the blue creepers?
Yeah, yeah.
I want the blue creepers.
But, I mean, that's what you're going to do. You're going to be really specific. As to where the guy might come in there, hand him the bucket, and he gets those ones, you know, where you get ripped off, and it's like a half inch, and you're thinking, come on, dude.
Yeah.
And you get the other ones that are, you know, 5-6 inches, and you're mm-hmm. thinking, golly, look at this. This thing's a two-course meal. So I think that's the difference, right?
Okay, real quick, talking size, explain this. You're number 7 flicker shad, and you catch like an 8-inch walleye. Well, what was he thinking?
Well, that's true. I mean, well, we've seen him do it on the flicker minnows.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, you're looking at this thing going, the treble hook is stuck in his mouth. Like, I have a hard time unhooking them because the top hook is connected with the bottom hook,
right?
Right?
The bait's almost as long as the fish.
I don't know. I mean, it's just because I think they just get, you know, just get nuts. They get ravenous.
They're all crazy.
Yeah.
Those
are the female fish.
Well, the reason I even thought of that was a great example. My biggest pike I've ever caught was ice fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And
12.5 inches.
No, it was 40. It was 40.
I'm teasing.
But again, in real shallow water, clear, I saw it. All of a sudden, my buddy goes, dude, look at this. Look down the hole. You look down the hole, and there's a log laying underneath the house. We were just packing up to go home. Well, I was set up for trout. I had a micro jig and one salmon egg on the little teeny hook.
Yeah.
And I was like, no guts, no glory.
Right.
I reeled up even with his yapper and jigged it twice, and he just snapped at it.
Yeah.
Just like if it was a bug or something small. So opportunistic. It was there, he snapped on it, and off we went, you know, right. back and forth. He got that fish, but, I mean, really? Yeah. Why would he eat something so small? Because it was right there,
it was
easy.
Yeah, I think fish in general are opportunistic feeders. I think, you know, a lot of guys will do these, you'll see them posted on social media where they have a camera and you can see the bait. Usually it's a crankbait or some sort of swim bait behind the yep. camera. And you see that, you know, these fish, all of a sudden they appear out of nowhere and it is an opportunistic strike. And they come up and they maybe follow it for a second. They strike. If they miss, they're gone. If they don't, you mm-hmm. fish on.
No, you're right.
Right.
You're
and
right.
so, because, I mean, you'll see guys that, and we've had guys win tournaments, and they're not even using entire pieces of a minnow. Mm-hmm. They're using a creek chub head.
Well, we do that, jigging.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is open water. This is underneath a slip bobber, you know, where it's just
with
a chunk of
bait.
Dead meat hanging below a slip bobber. And they'll win tournaments on that kind of garbage. And so, you know, you're thinking, geez. So I think it's opportunistic. I mean, they're mm-hmm. cruising through.
I think there's times that are opportunistic. If that was the case, everybody would be catching fish. You still got to get the right presentation.
I think it just weighs your odds in the yep. right direction.
Right.
So, you know, you're sure the flukes are going to happen, the 8-inch, you know, right. walleye trying to eat a flicker shad.
Right.
And the 40-inch pike eating a micro jig.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Right.
But the more you can kind of match it and kind of
be consistent with what you're doing.
Right.
Really, it's paying attention to what's working and not being afraid to change. It's just like the jig thing that I was talking about, is if you're using white and it's working and your buddy's using yellow and yellow's not working, he should be switching to white. Or he should try something different to see if orange is working better. And then you start figuring it out for the day. It's going to change every
right.
day. But as far as the bait size, I think that you always got to be consistent with how you do your approach.
Yeah.
Right? You can't go, I mean, you can go out in the spring, consistent, just a perfect example, casting shorelines in the spring right after mm-hmm. ice out or after post-spawn. You're going to use the bigger baits. Now, could you get a fluke if you're casting number 4 flicker shad? Sure.
Sure.
Right? But I think when you're using those big stick baits, that's what I'm talking about, being consistent. You know that that's predominantly what's going to work.
Right.
So consistency throughout the year is going to win the marathon.
But you're not, the consistency comes with the presentation consistency.
It does.
Your the part of you that's consistent is how you present it. You may only have a creek chub head on the bottom of that slip bobber rig, but the slip bobber is set at the perfect depth.
That's just it. That's true.
So
that's
you
true.
Know
you're
you
right.
you have the
but
you
that's
have
the consistency.
The,
I'm
right,
talking
but you've
about.
Got the
if
3-inch. You've got the 3-inch grub, tipped with a hunk of night crawler. All right, but you're consistently fishing it in the right zone, right? If you're pitching up to shore and they're biting it in 2 feet of water.
Vertical jigging,
or
whatever.
Vertical, whatever. But you are, that is where these podcasts and the stuff that we try to help with is so important, because it's developing all those other pieces to where you can narrow it down to, I wonder if it is a bigger leech. Mm-hmm. But you have all the other pieces of that puzzle so much, you know, fairly in order enough to be able to give yourself that opportunity to say,
your options.
Yeah. I mean, is it color today, or is it the 4-inch leech instead of the 2-inch leech, or whatever? Mm-hmm. So I think that's the important piece, is it's the consistency to do the right presentation.
Yeah. No, I think we all agree with that. And that's something that everybody should take away. Hey, so I think we're going to wrap it up here tonight. First of all, we'd like to thank everybody for listening to us, but also make sure you're following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And
our webpage, alleyesonfishing.com.
Yeah.
Hey, and if you're just, this is the first podcast you've listened to, go back, listen to a bunch of others.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear about it, too.
And, and shoot us a comment, either on social media,
yep.
or we also have our email. It's alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. We get a lot of people sending us information on that. Yeah, you're more than welcome to do the same thing.
Absolutely. Yep. And don't forget, like and share, because that's how we get out to more people, more fishermen, and more topics for us to discuss with you guys.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time, where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.